That's it. Well, welcome online students, and welcome all of you here on Darrow campus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you for the royal family. We thank you for the school of ministry that you have established by him, through him, and in him to train us. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. He knows everything. We don't know nothing. So Holy Spirit, you are the great teacher. There's none greater than you. We ask you to teach us today. Fill our mind with your thoughts. We thank you for it. Praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in chapter number 2, Catching the Waves of Revival. And this chapter is entitled
Characteristics of End Time Revival.
All right, y'all got it? The characteristics of what? End time revival. Now, in way of rehearsal, remember, New Testament revival what? Never ends. New Testament revival what?
Never
ends. All right, so I want you to keep that in your train of thought. You go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, so New Testament revival never ends. That keeps you from trying to work up something. Y'all follow what I'm saying? It's a constant flow. Amen. Okay, let's go.
Spiritual timing.
All right, so the first section is spiritual timing.
Acts chapter 2, verse 1.
All right.
God's time is precise.
All right, spiritual timing. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. We're not going to read it, but God's timing is precise.
In every outpouring.
God's timing is precise in every outpouring.
Timing is described.
Timing is described
as kairos, a specific appointed time.
It's described as kairos, a specific or an appointed time by God.
God moves on time.
God always moves on time.
And spiritual timing.
And spiritual timing
is the key to spiritual harvest.
And spiritual timing is the what? Key to what? Spiritual harvest. Now, I took you through a few things last week. I won't try to go through all of them. But God is the God of timing. Remember, we went to Ecclesiastes 3:1, which says to every what? To everything. There is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. We talked about when the fullness of time was come. Remember Galatians chapter number 4, talking about Jesus. We have appointed time. We have the fullness of time. It's important for us to move, watch this, in sync with God's timing. See, many young men go out in ministry too early because they're not willing to what? Wait until the what? Appointed time. Keep this under your belt. No man can hold you back from God's purpose. What did I say? Because it's all about whose timing. Now, when God is ready to move you forward, nobody can stop it. And to be honest with you, every real man of God is not trying to hold nobody back. What they're trying to do is put enough in you so when you get out there, hello, you'll stand the test of time. Okay, read.
Spiritual preparation.
Spiritual preparation.
Acts chapter 2. Verse 1.
Spiritual preparation is another key. Not only must we have spiritual timing, but you must have spiritual preparation.
God cannot move.
God cannot move.
Unless man have prepared themselves.
God cannot move unless man. Now read it all the way like we have it bulletized for you. You all that chopping stuff. I'm training them, y'all. Yeah, you don't want me to train you because some of y'all get your little feelings hurt. But you know, we'll be up here all night. We trying to get out of here. Y'all know what I mean, moving forward. Okay, so start again. What did it say?
God cannot move unless man has prepared themselves in accordance to
God cannot move except man has prepared himself, watch this, in accordance with what? God's word. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, I want you to read it because you're dealing with spiritual timing. And you're also dealing with spiritual what? Preparation. They go hand in hand. Acts 2 and 1 say, and when the day of what? Pentecost was what? Fully come. So there's timing right there. When the day of Pentecost was what? Fully come. Fully come. Fully come bespeaks time. Are you listening? Jesus was shown to be alive 40 days and 40 nights, according to Acts chapter 1. Y'all know 40 days, 40 in the Bible stands for tests, trials, and temptation, right? Now, the word Pentecost means 50. Are you listening? So God, the Holy Spirit, all throughout the scriptures, you can attach 50 is the number of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? So 10 days later, he showed up. Says timing. Timing. Remember, Jesus told the apostles that he had trained already. He said, you ain't ready yet. Y'all hear that, huh? You ain't ready yet. See, even though he sent them out in his name, and they did many signs, wonders, and miracles, watch this, in his name, they were still not yet equipped to go out. Their major equipment had not been given to them yet. Are you listening? So he told them to go wait for the promise of the Father. See, that has to do with time, right? Wait, because there was a fullness of time for the Holy Spirit to be released upon them. So he sent them to the upper room. Then the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all what? They were with one accord, and they were in one place. Are you listening? With one accord, where? In one place. All right. That's where they were praying, seeking God. Are you listening? Waiting for the promise of the Father, not just sitting in the seat, waiting by ministering to God, waiting for the promise of the Father. Okay? So that took spiritual what? Timing and preparation. You know, if somebody would have got bored, come on now, if somebody would have got bored and left on the seventh day, y'all follow what I'm saying? They would not have received the fullness of what God had promised. That's why being in sync with God is best to be in sync with God. To be honest, which I've heard apostles say this, he says it's better for you to be behind God than to be in front of him. Because if you're in front of him, now you're leading him. Yeah, you'd be like the whining song. Wherever I go, let the Spirit follow. Well, y'all been singing it. Don't look at me. Okay, read the next one, sir.
The fire came from heaven.
Now watch this. Now we're talking about spiritual timing, spiritual preparation. The fire came from heaven.
After
the prophet Elijah
had built the altar according to God's word.
Had built the altar according to whose word? See, so in order for God to really flow and move, human responsibility must come into play. God needs us. So God will give us instructions, tell us what to do, so he can do what he got to do. Y'all understand that? So Elijah built the altar according to God's word, then God showed up. Read. The rain came after Noah built the ark. After Noah built the ark, you study the scriptures. Now, one man building that, and God specifically told Noah, make sure you build it according to the specs I'm giving you. Are you listening to me? Now, here's another thing you need to know. Noah preached, it took 120 years to build that ark. Well, he was the one working on the ark. God, the one gave him the plans to do it. Hello? They had never seen it rain before. He out there telling people it's going to rain. They thought he had, come on, lost a little bit. Come on now. So nobody was helping him. So he had to go get the wood. See y'all. Yeah, he had to go cut stuff down, prepare it. Hello, spiritual preparation. Are you listening? See, he was preparing for something they could not even see. Are you listening? So read the next one.
The apostles prepared themselves. Before the day of Pentecost.
They prepared themselves before the day of Pentecost.
In accordance to the prophet.
according to prophetic revelation. See, the Holy Spirit, it was announced he was coming. Jesus in St. John 14, 15, 16, you read them. Jesus said, I'm about to leave from here. The key thing is Jesus said, I'm coming back. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. I'm Emmanuel, which is God with you, but I'm coming back as Holy Spirit, God in you. So why is the church still looking for Jesus? When he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you in the person of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter, one after the same sort or kind. Are you listening? In other words, I'm coming back. But this time I'm not coming to be with you. I'm coming to get in you. Are you listening? Now, the second coming of Christ, that's a whole nother topic. But the church have missed it because they still focused on the second coming versus realizing he here already. It's the acts of the apostles. It's the acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles is really what's happening today. All apostolic ministry is conducted by a yielded vessel who has learned how to yield to the Holy Ghost. That's what apostle does, and he get great results. Come on, read.
They prepared themselves.
They prepared themselves.
Individually and corporately.
They prepared themselves individually and corporately. Now watch this. It's good to prepare yourself individually, but sometimes you don't want to be a part of the team. You want to be the shining star. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when you're in a corporate setting, the corporate is greater than the individual. Uh-huh. The corporate is greater than the what? Yeah. That's why Jesus was smart. Jesus said, I'm going to build the church. All right. I'm going to build the church. And my way of building the church is I'm going to give some gifts to the church. All right. I'm going to give the gift. I'm going to give the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Those gifts make me up. One Jesus. Last I checked in math class, one Jesus. 5/5 equal one. Uh-huh. See that? He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. Y'all got that? He did that. Why? Because he wanted them to understand, I may have given you these individual gifts, but your development is going to be based upon your corporate connection. So if you study the scripture, all gifts are to be connected to the apostle. That's why it's important to have an apostolic government in your life. Read.
They prepared themselves individually and corporately before the revival broke forth.
They prepared themselves individually and corporately before the revival can break forward.
Acts chapter 1, verse 14.
In Acts 1, 14.
They prepared themselves.
They prepared themselves.
In prayer.
In prayer.
With one accord in unity.
They prepared themselves with prayer. In one accord with unity.
In establishing leadership structure.
And they established leadership structure.
Among themselves according to God's divine purpose.
Established leadership structure among themselves according to God's divine purpose. In other words, God had to speak. You couldn't have a bunch of people in there with a good idea. Amen. Are you listening? Okay, read.
Human responsibility is essential to revival.
Human responsibility is what? Essential to what? Revival. Human responsibility. Now, it's important, class, to understand this. I mean, I came up in the church. I told y'all I'm a Kojic boy. And, you know, I used to be playing football, you know, playing with stuff when, you know, kid, you know, you're on the front row. You ain't paying attention to the preacher. You just playing with them little footballs you used to make out of paper. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you young guys was doing the same thing, you know. But I do remember always hearing them pray, Lord, I'm waiting on you. It was always the prayer, Lord, we're waiting on you. Well, it's time to quit waiting. God has completed and finished everything he's going to do. It takes human responsibility. Are you listening? Human responsibility. Read.
They is the key word, and it clearly defines the corporate responsibility.
They is a key word when you start talking about in the book of Acts. They were all with one accord in one place. So read it again.
They is the key word.
They is the key word.
And it clearly defines the corporate responsibility.
And it clearly defines the corporate responsibility.
And response before the revival came.
And response to God before the revival came. Read.
Number three, spiritual outbursts.
Spiritual outbursts.
Though the apostles were expecting the revival.
Now, though the apostles were doing what? Come on. Though the apostles were what? Say it, expecting the revival. See, if you don't expect nothing, nothing gonna happen. Expectation is a key to revival. Expectation can be equivalent to they who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. See, expectation, I expect God to do the impossible. No, see, that's an expectation. I don't care how I look. I don't care how I feel. Sometimes you got to look ugly before God get his. Sometimes you got to be willing to be out there. Some of y'all want this little punk God. God ain't no punk. God say, I don't care what you going through. I'm the God of the impossible. I'm just looking for somebody that can trust me. Trust me. Are you listening to me? I'm looking for somebody who can trust me. Walk with me. Depend on me. I'm the one who delivered the children of Israel out of the Red Sea. I got Daniel out of the lion's den. I got Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro out of the fiery furnace. Now you say, why are you saying that, Dr. Walker? Because in human responsibility, you start understanding that God will begin to do things. And even after you expect it and prepared for it, he will burst on the scene and overwhelm you. You understand that? Spiritual outburst. At any moment, at any time, God can break forth in your life and show forth his glory. Read.
Though the apostles were expecting the revival.
Though the apostles were expecting the revival.
Yet they were still taken by surprise.
Yet they were still taken by what?
Surprise.
I love it. Because God loves to surprise us. All right, now see, I feel like some of y'all on that. Maybe it's, look, a husband ought to love to surprise his wife with good stuff. I'm like Apostle, I don't believe a woman ought to work. Well, if you believe a woman should work, go your butt to work then. Sorry, there's not, they probably online cheering. But you know, the greatest thing you can do for your wife is say, baby, you coming home today. You go to the spa, go get your hair done, go out to take a limousine, go out to lunch with your girls, because that's how you should live the rest of your days. What a surprise that would be. Versus working hard for the money. Go ahead on, read next.
So suddenly and powerfully.
Watch this. So suddenly and so powerfully.
God intervened in the spiritual destiny of his
God spirit. Intervened in the destiny of his church. Are you going to read the next one or we don't stay here?
It happened so quickly and suddenly.
See, I know they got more. See, I'm the one that developed this thing. I don't know what he waiting on. See, it happened so quickly and so suddenly
that people were
caught what? All right, now let me give you a good example of what I'm saying. Since I've been a kid, we talked about Jesus is coming back. I mean, you've heard it too if you've been in the church, right? And in Matthew 24, you begin to see all of these signs that Jesus say be before his second appearance. Are you listening? Earthquakes in diverse places. Calamities. Wars, rebellion. Huh? Just about everything. Pestilence. Everything you could name. With all these hurricanes recently, with all these earthquakes recently, with all the uproar that's going on in our country, because we have a leader that's speaking things. without a prophet in his life to give him some wisdom. Are you listening? Huh? So there's a lot of turmoil. Watch this. The problem is that has happened just about in every. Yeah. So that's why people get messed up, because they observe all of those things and they're, oh, he's coming now. But for 200, 300, 400 years, that haven't happened. See, first of all, let's get something straight. The last days started in Acts chapter 2. Well, do you read your Bible? In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So since the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we have been in the last days. The signs of his coming has always been in the end time. In revival, what God is looking for is a people who's always ready, who's always prepared. They ain't trying to get ready because they got a few signs out there. Y'all see the difference? They stay ready. They stay prepared. It's too late to try to get in shape tomorrow. Yeah, you understand that. And if you're an individual who exercise and work out, here's a principle. It can take you months to get in shape, but a week to get out of shape. How about that? That's why all of the athletes who come home for Thanksgiving and Christmas, they go load yourself down with that food. Amen. If they would get What the Health video, they wouldn't eat none of that food. All right, read the next one.
Often, astonishment and fear grip human hearts.
Often, astonishment and fear grips human hearts.
Because of God's sudden intervention.
Because of God's sudden and divine intervention in the affairs of men. In other words, God can interrupt. It just seemed like things ain't going right and God jump in and do something totally out the box. Well, think about the Red Sea experience. God tells a man who's caught Red Sea in Pharaoh's army behind him, pick up a rod and stretch it. Now, you know you Negroes wouldn't have made it. If you online, pardon me, I'm talking to my peepers. Because they would have been saying, you know what, grab Johnny, Sally, and Sue, and we're going to get the hell up on out of here. Man talking about stretching some little rod to open up a big sea. He out of his, you know, mind. Yeah, blankety blank, you know, fill in the blank, because you know our people talk. Amen. And you know, they would say, we out of here. Talking about God spoke to him about stretching a rod. But that's the kind of stuff God does. God gives ridiculous instructions to cause things to happen. You know, money cometh is ridiculous to a lot of people because they've seen what it has done in the life of apostle. But what they don't understand, it's a modern day apostolic revival. Money designed for the body of Christ to come out. That's why God gave him those two seemingly ridiculous words. Yet, he gave them not just for him. He gave them to the body, but the body refuses to connect to apostolic ministry, so they won't catch it. Got to believe in the apostle. That's not for him, that's for us. And if God brought him out, he'll bring us out. But we have to be willing to do what he did. If we depend on him to bring us out, they're going to say he did it. God told us to bless him, and he would bless us. Come on, read, sir.
The sudden divine shock tactic.
See, God will get you out of debt so fast, it's a shock tactic. One day you was totally over your head in debt, and the next week everything paid off. And you say, I don't know how. That's the kind of stuff God does. Read.
It's to remind men of their awesome God.
See, God wants to remind man, you can't do this. See, that gives God leeway to work when we know we can't do it. And even though we're expecting God to do great things, what a surprise it is when God do things so suddenly, like the beautiful gate who've been there 38 years. Come on, never walked before, holding a can out, shaking it, wanting some alms. And Peter and John walk up to him and say, look on us, today your day. You never know when God speaks to one of his servants and point you out and say, today your day. See, Starlink, and prophetic move we're in, where the government is being restored back to the church, you're going to see such demonstrations and such power demonstrated that the days of the book of Acts ought to be going on just like they did in that day. Exactly like they did in that day. But the church got to get out of unbelief. Are you listening? We got to believe in the men and the women that have prepared themselves for this end time revival. Read.
The effect of the sudden working of the Holy Spirit.
The effect of the sudden working of the Holy Spirit.
Is very striking in the conviction of the sinners.
It's very striking. Notice what it says. In the conviction of the sinners.
And the awakening
of the saints. I need to say two things here. Number one, it said conviction of the sinners. It didn't say condemnation. See, conviction is what we need. Condemnation is what we don't need. See, you cannot win people condemning them. But if they get convicted in your life, are you listening to me? See, conviction brings about repentance. Conviction don't bring remorse, it brings repentance. Remorse means I'm sorry I got caught. Repentance means I'm going to turn and walk away from it. Come on, go read.
Number four,
spiritual
liability.
I know you. Spiritual liberty. Come on.
The Holy Spirit who fell from heaven.
The Holy Spirit who fell from heaven.
Had full liberty to move and direct the people as he chose.
See, the Holy Spirit wants full liberty to move people as who? As he chooses. As he chooses. One of the things I find out in ministry, being a pastor myself, everybody want to control you. You got a committee. Head deacons, all of these folk who think, oh, Lord, have mercy. See, God ain't looking for a committee. The Holy Spirit wants to have a spiritual vessel prepared where he can exercise and do with his thing without your vote. Reza.
He was allowed to move in any direction.
The Holy Spirit was.
And his spontaneous work spread so quickly.
And the Holy Spirit's spontaneous work spread so quickly.
From one person to another.
From one person what?
To another.
From one person to another. Sound to me like hot coals catching on fire. Hot coals. I love that example. Because when you do a barbecue person, huh? You have to put them in a pyramid. And why go get Kingsford and lighter fluid when you can just get match light? But I know some people, well, that's too expensive. That's why we got to change your mindset. Because when you put them in a pyramid and you throw that match in there, huh? Lighter fluid will burn off. But if you're soaked in fluid, y'all know, you see the difference? If you're soaked in the fluid, are you listening? And you throw that match in there. Are you listening? You don't have to keep squirting about it. And then it begin to spread from one coal to the next till they all ash over. Then you spread them out. Are you listening? Then you spread them out. They're going to have some more black ones in there, but they on fire already. Then after a little bit of time, they all turn white. Then you can cook. Come on here. Go read.
It follows a divine agenda.
Watch this. It follows a divine agenda.
It seeks to fulfill God's eternal purpose.
It seeks to fulfill God's eternal purpose.
One, by gathering spiritual momentum.
All right. By gathering momentum. That's a good term. See, y'all know they got a lot of people like to break the momentum. Y'all ever seen momentum be broken in the church? Here y'all go. Y'all won't get all spiritual. God is moving in a certain dimension. I remember in one service, apostle is ministering about money. Somebody won't jump up talk. This ain't a healing meeting. This is a money meeting. But that's spiritual people. They are oftentimes planted by the enemy with their lack of spiritual maturity to try to turn something God is doing another way. But make no mistake about it. Apostle has protected this apostolic call to minister finances to the body of Christ. How has he done it? By not allowing the momentum of it to be broken by men who will try to take it into their own hand and turn it their way.
Amen.
Read.
In the hearts of those
By gathering spiritual momentum in the hearts of those who what?
Obey.
You want your money? Obey. Don't be sitting up here acting like this. This is something different from the school. Everything who apostle is a part of this school, including the money. Read.
A revival fire has proven divine momentum. A revival fire has this liberty to move in divine momentum.
Read. It's not orchestrated by men.
By human endeavor.
And it's not organized and controlled by what? Human endeavors.
Revival follows God's divine agenda.
Revival follows who agenda? God's agenda.
By gathering spiritual momentum.
Because when you really get in a rhythm and you get the momentum going, that's when things really start to happen. See, enough momentum, that's why when you're driving a car, I know y'all like to drive fast, especially you young ladies. I used to think that men get all the tickets wrong. Most of the time, if you look, it's not a brother, it's a sister. But here's the thing people need to understand about momentum. If you're doing 100 miles per hour and there's a curb up there, and you don't slow that thing down, it's not you turning the wheel that make it go off the road. The fault, momentum and speed will take you through the curb. Are you listening? Now, why did you give us that example? Because divine momentum will take you through the curves of the enemy. Through the walls. Nothing can stop you. Read.
Number five, spiritual presence.
We have to have spiritual presence.
In every revival. The manifested presence of God. Prick and convict the hearts of men.
It's the manifested presence of God that does what? Pricks and convicts the heart of men. Watch this. That's why we don't have to be preaching at folk. It's the Holy Spirit who can prick a heart. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, them brothers said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Are you listening? Because the Holy Spirit, watch this, the Holy Spirit knows the answer for everybody under the sun. Not the alcoholic, or the person on reefer, all right, or the prostitute on the corner. Because see, God can redeem any man. If you know how to touch him, God is the one that gives you the key to unlock their heart. But if you in the condemnation, it ain't.
God is honored and held in holy respect.
God is honored in revival. God is honored and held in holy respect.
God consciousness.
And we develop in revival a God consciousness.
Fills the heart of men.
God consciousness that fills. Creates an awareness of sin.
Releases the opportunity for his grace to be made available.
See, that's what happened. See, it's not just preaching on sin and about sin. Can I talk to you? In revival, you have an understanding that sin already been dealt. The church spent so much time that the church is sin conscious. Come on now. See, a lot of the old churches that, you know, especially Pentecostal churches, everything about holiness had to do with what you wear. Come on, no hat. They had to have makeup on. No, they didn't. You couldn't have makeup on in my church. You were Jesse Bell. Your dress had to be 6 inches below. See, we have a lot of man-made ideology about the holiness of God. But the holiness of God can be summed up in as the vessel of God, take your members and yield them unto God. It's that simple. See, that's called dominion. If you want to have dominion, you know, it's what you do with your members. Satan can't make us do nothing. Who we yield our members to obey is whose servants we are. Did you catch it? It's who you yield yourself to. Do you know why God wants us to have dominion? Because it's a powerful thing to say, I don't have to do that. I do that if I want to. Oh, that's all right. That's called the power of choice. trained about choices people make. It's their choice. You just choose your choice. Read. God becomes visibly and audibly present
among his people. This demonstration of his presence.
This demonstration of God's presence
cuts
into the conscience of men's minds
and brings them to their knees.
And brings them to their what? Knees. Now that's true revival. And when you see people running to the altar, huh? Running, huh? Falling down, huh? Because of the deep conviction of the Holy Ghost, huh? That's true conversion. Tears all the time. Let's not get moved by the running all the time. But you know when somebody been changed. Are you listening? Yeah, they were afraid of Paul when he got changed. Because they said, that's the Negro that was binding us up, putting us in jail, killing us. Now y'all telling me he's saved? Now y'all know, amen. It's as though God can't deliver somebody like that. Amen. Amen. The church only wants the good folk preaching. Huh? But I got to help y'all. God chose murderers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. Yeah, check your Bible out. Moses murdered. Hello. David, huh? A murderer, an adulterer. He would have never made it to the pulpit. Are you listening? And a womanizer. And so was Solomon. Hello, somebody. You say, well, why are you saying that, man of God? Because people get to trip as though God can't deliver a person from something. Quit tripping about it. And love them to, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. See, speak the truth in love. Are you listening? Let people grow in grace. You quit trying to grow for them. Ain't nothing like when God deliver them. Come on, read, sir.
Manifestation of true revival brings an overwhelming sense of God.
Manifestation of a true revival
brings an overwhelming sense of God's presence.
Brings an overwhelming sense of God's presence.
That brings conviction of sin.
That brings conviction of sin and salvation to unregenerated man.
A transformation of lives.
And it transforms lives. That's the purpose of true revival. Y'all have a